Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, but no, it was great. Yeah. We've done it. We're in.
Yeah. Welcome to the third episode of the Get In Our Home series. This series is designed to help home builders, homeowners, and renovators to get inspiration and guidance from industry professionals and also homeowners themselves. My name is Peter Kilmartin, and on this episode, we travel to the beautiful coastal county Antrim to meet Nikki and Colin, a lovely couple who, despite all the challenges with planning permission and COVID-19, managed to move into their new build. Although not quite finished yet, Nikki and Colin are hell-bent on making their dream home a reality. Don't forget that you can see their home on the Get In Our Home YouTube channel. I must say that the view from this home was one of the best we've ever seen, so it's really worth looking just to see the view alone. I really enjoyed this chat and I really found it valuable for those that might be having trouble with planning permission or even those looking for advice for building on an incline. The guys have some really great tips and advice and I really can't thank them both enough for their time. So without further ado, let's get into it.
How did you guys meet? What happened there? And like, was it always in your sights to live in this area? Or I know you talked about your forever home, but like, had you looked at different areas when you were younger and stuff?
No, I haven't.
Brashean actually one time.
Oh, we did. That's right. Yes.
I used to work in Ballymena.
We met. I was still at school. And final year at school, and you were with
Shipyard.
No, I don't know, but you were with a fella that night that my friend was going out with, so that's basically whenever we met.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was about 6 months later before we started going out.
That's right.
So kind of like school sweethearts.
Well, no, he's older than me.
I'm a wee bit older later, as you can tell.
And we went to different schools as well.
Okay.
I was doing my A levels.
Right, and I was working.
Yes, and then I was supposed to go to uni.
I was working in the shipyard. I actually worked at that time, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
One didn't recognise me.
There was one time I was walking up to school and to do an exam with my friend, and he walked past the other way and I didn't recognise him
because he
was so dirty from work.
Long hair then, didn't
he?
So as they say,
I didn't go to uni then. I stayed and started work.
And then tell me a little bit about then. So fast forward, we do the whole house thing, we're happy out, and then we decide to build a house. This site, it has its challenges in terms of elevation and neighbouring houses and stuff. Mm-hmm. Was that a fear early on in terms of planning? What, you know, just tell me a little bit about picking this site and choosing it, whether it was the right one or not. Because obviously, I must say, you know, for those that maybe not have seen the view is 10 out of 10.
I suppose we weren't too worried about planning because there was already full planning on it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So, but the house that passed, it wouldn't have worked for us.
Right. Mm. And what sort of house was there?
It was literally just it was a rectangular box.
Bungalow sort of thing.
And they had excavated, but they'd excavated purely to give them foundations because they'd ended up filling it in. So even though it was maybe, 20 metres or 10 metres, only half of that space downstairs was being used. So that's what I had sort of said to the architect. If we're digging all that out, why dig it out to fill it back in again? Can we not make use of the space? So we went to 3 or 4 architects and we kind of went, like, this is what's been passed. This doesn't work, this doesn't work. So for instance, it was an upside down house, which was fine because it took advantage of the views. and had the big slider window. Wouldn't have been as big as that. It was nearly as if it was two standard patio doors nearly. But no outside space from the first floor, just the front door. Mm. And then this, you'd have been in your kitchen and not be able to get outside. And a couple of the architects, basically just all they wanted to do was adapt
that design inside
to fit us. Whereas the architect that we ended up going with, he basically said, rip that up.
Hmm.
Let's start and from scratch.
Did you have a design in your head when you were coming here?
I just wanted something more modern.
Yeah, well, from our previous house, we knew what we liked and what we didn't like, because that was exactly the same format, upside down house.
Oh, so you previously lived in an upside-down house? That's quite unusual.
Yeah, so we...
And Colin's mum went to a fortune teller years ago and said, your son's house is upside down. And I took offence at it. Because upside down, we would say, we mean it's a mess.
Yes.
And then,
but my mum,
fast forward, we actually have lived in two upside-down houses.
And actually on that fortune teller, my mum got a lot of that right, didn't she? With build and...
That's right, we were going to build as well. So... I forgot now what we were saying.
You were saying about the design early on.
Oh yeah, we knew we wanted open plan living.
Mm-hmm. That works.
We knew.
But sorry, just track back. What did you know was working and not working in the old house, and how did you follow that through? Because a lot of people like listen and watch this. They might be renting or they might be living somewhere. What should they take from where they are now to what they're going doing?
Yeah. So our last house we had upside down, but the top floor was there for a reason, the view. But that was basically a large lounge diner and a small family room and a wee bedroom. Our kitchen was downstairs.
The middle room.
But it didn't have the view. Well, it did if you stood at the window, but it didn't have the view if you were just doing your normal day-to-day stuff. Colin had knocked down walls to extend the kitchen so that it was a larger open plan kitchen, diner and living room, and that is where we were spending all our time. The upstairs did not get used.
Christmas.
So with this lovely big house, and we were not making use of it. So do that. Sarah Beeney has a program where she puts cameras, and the hot areas are where you use. Our whole upstairs
would have been
cold because it literally was never used.
Yeah.
And that's what we said. We don't need a good room. Some of my friends are horrified, but to me it was just a room in the house that I had to clean, and I wasn't getting any enjoyment out of it or any use out of it. So that was the definite. We just wanted one big open plan. The kids are spending most of their time in their bedrooms anyway. Even if their friends came around, that's where they went to. We didn't need to have a separate living area for them, although we did want the games room.
Yes.
And that would be sort of our family room, stroke den, stroke games room.
So it was kind of like nearly making smarter use of space in the new house.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So it's not just a case of looking at the house that you're in at the minute and thinking what works. It's definitely a good idea thinking, right, what doesn't work?
And what
can we do to fix that?
Yeah.
So the utility room was another one, and we had a few debates about this. My last two houses, you got into the house via their back door, went straight into your utility room, and I hated it because it literally just was like a dumping ground.
It brings you into mess.
I was adamant in this house that whenever you came through the back door, you were not in the utility, which meant we put the door up with the slider. And even the bricklayers ganged up against me with Colin. They were going, you're mad, you're making it too small.
Yeah.
You're making it too small. I says, I don't care. As long as I have a room for my washing machine, tumble dryer and a sink, that's all I need.
Yeah.
I just do not want a place for clutter to be dumped as somebody comes through the back door.
Especially with kids, jackets and boots and...
It's because I'm always working on my own worky stuff. That's probably why, you know.
That was a big thing for me.
So then we have our ideal house in our heads, and then we have an architect that we now have on board because we went to a few of them, and then we suddenly find this kind of little gem that can draw up new plans. How did you find the architect process? And, you know, early on, were dreams big and brought back, or you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Very much so. Yeah. I literally had a big list.
Mm-hmm.
We had a list,
and a lot of that was based on what we had in our previous house again, wasn't it?
And you'd and find a book. Do you remember you got a brochure or something out of a self-build book? And it was like 150 items.
For the modern house. So it was a lot of box ticking, but at the same time, you had to be realistic with the budget.
Yeah.
And space. So I'd always wanted a pantry, you know, like a walk-in pantry. But to have it on this level, somewhere else would have had to have been sacrificed. You know, the study would have had to have been smaller, might not have had a utility. So that basically was, you just have to compromise
sacrifice
here.
Sacrifice that. Yeah.
Yep. And the games room, like, we always intended it to be up in the loft.
Mm-hmm.
And to have two sets of stairs. Well, it was one set, but it went down and up.
Mm.
But just whenever the tender came back.
The budget just...
No, so we had to go back to the architects, and they helped us then redesign the staircase. And
But
we've done it in a way that we can still do it.
Yes.
So we've got the right insulation in. We've got the heating future-proofed that we can add to it and take it up into the loft. And then with electric... up there as well. And there's something else did you do? The trusses, I suppose, are all that you can walk on.
Yeah, and then so it's the same, spiral.
It's the same design. The only thing really that was stripped out was the finishing and that extra staircase.
Yeah.
We weren't going to put the Veloxes in, but whenever they were doing the roof, the builder basically said, listen, if you don't do this now,
it's going to be way more
expensive. It'll be three times the price because they would have to put scaffolding up, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So we basically... that went ahead and got the Veloxes in.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, I think sometimes you have to be smart where you're spending your money, you know what I mean? That sometimes it can be better to spend it then as opposed to more or later.
Yes.
Okay, so then you have your design, how did planning go? And did you have any retention or
planning didn't go great. Sure then.
No. This is not our original design.
No.
So tell me what happened.
Basically, the original design that the architect came up with was just one long linear building, and it would have had sort of two sets of patio or big sliders. One set would have been the living room, and the one set further back, which would have been the kitchen and the diner.
Mm-hmm.
And again, downstairs, and your games room would have been downstairs, but there was an offshoot that let light into that back part of the house.
And what were their problems with that one?
Basically, it was they kept saying, there was a balcony. So it was still a wraparound balcony, but it went from one right the way around down to I'm pointing here because that's where it's going to be. And
they basically said
that they didn't like the balcony being so far forward because we could look down into the neighbour, but that's the neighbour's garage.
Hmm.
So they said, if you bring it back 2 meters, 1.2 meters, I think they said it in feet, but it was like 1.2 meters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the architect did, and we resubmitted it. So basically just shifted the house further back, and they then came back. We actually met with the head planner.
Yeah. We got our council involved too, didn't we?
Yes, we got a local councillor and he got us a meeting with the head planner. The two houses to the left of us had sort of put in objections about light, but we were already very, very adamant with the architect. We do not want to impact negatively on our neighbours because we're going to be living here, and
nobody wants enemies moving into our house.
Exactly. So we were very, very conscious of that, and the architect was able to do this. There's a name for it, but basically it tracks where the sun is and how it hits the house
and casts shadows
certain times of the day and different times of the year.
Yes.
So that proved to the planners that it never actually went over their house. It was maybe on their driveway, but it never actually prevented light going into their house.
Mm.
So that was positive. So that all came out at this meeting, and they had all this evidence and all. And at that meeting, then he says, if you bring it back that 1.2 metres, and we actually brought it back a bit further than that. And they came back, and basically there's a thing called a building line. Have you heard of that?
Yes, okay.
And the building line, in my experience, is where you have got the most closest part of a house to the road. So you can't between two houses, you can't go beyond that. Mm-hmm. Well, they did the building line from the corner of the house on the right hand side to the back corner of the house on the left.
Mm.
Not the front corner.
And why did they do that?
We do not know.
We semi appealed it, and then to the
extent, the architect sort of said, listen, there's no real point appealing it. So we had to then, it caused us to have the house pushed so far back that we wouldn't have had any space at the back for a driveway.
Yeah.
And our caravan, literally the house would have been on top of the garage.
Yeah.
So we must have had then about two or three other designs then to try and make it work.
To sort of make it more compact, to give us turning circles, cars.
And it was really awkward coming in to a linear house. And there were so many different permutations.
That must have slowed you down.
I'd say maybe 9 months.
Yeah, and we were actually contemplating, is it worth the hassle, didn't we? Like we did.
In the end, this came about because it was an amalgamation of the original rectangular.
Yes.
And then the long one.
Yeah.
To give us this car parking spot. Mm-hmm.
So the only downside with this was that there's no way of getting that. The only way of getting the natural light into the hall, the bottom of the stairs, we wouldn't have had any natural light because that offshoot wasn't there, because we needed to make this part wider. And but then that the way we're getting around that was going up into the loft, and then it worked out too pricey. But whenever we were doing the bills, because we decided not to take the staircase up the way, we decided then to do that as vaulted.
Okay, yes.
And put that Velux in. Yeah. So that's given us the natural light down into the stairwell, thankfully.
So there has been a lot of things.
I can't believe it.
From a building point of view that has been negative, but it's... We've worked with it and made some things positive, the vaulted thing. There's some things have evolved through.
Organic. It is definitely an organic process.
Yeah.
And like I even remember saying, whenever we got our fixed price and all in, and I had says, right, is that everything? And the builder had said to me, well, unless you change anything. And I went, nope. I have seen too many grand design programs, and I know I'm definitely change things.
Yeah.
Because it's only whenever you're on site.
And you see gaps and windows and openings. Well,
there's a wall outside, for instance.
That wasn't on the drawings, but we needed it because we needed to get to the balcony from the driveway.
From there, you went out, down, and then back up.
Right,
that was stupid.
Yeah.
Beyond belief, wasn't it? So that was an expensive learning curve.
Window moved.
That
window moved. So that's another thing, definitely. If you are... Like, I did go looking at kitchens before we even had a block laid, because I was excited about it. And because of that, we were able to move that window early in the process to give me more space to put units. Mm. So I was sort of going, I can't believe I'm going looking at kitchens. And one of my friends said to me, she had extensively renovated her house. And she says, no, see any decisions you know that you have to make, make them, because you've so many down the line that you don't even know you have got coming your way yet. And that's definitely a good piece of advice.
Yeah. And where your gut feeling is, should I do it now or should I do it later? You're always better doing it now. That will all sorts of things, like, definitely. Go with your gut.
It might hurt the pocket in the short term, but it's worth it in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That means you've ticked the box. Like, the builder rang. I never even thought the builder rang. Because this is upside down, all our sort of sanitary ware is literally downstairs, well, apart from the wee cloakroom. So they had only just literally started laying blocks, and the builder rang me and he goes, where are you putting, do you know your bathroom layouts? So I did, because that was another thing that went along with the kitchen. And it was, we did it back because we had time to do it together. Whereas the further end of the build, Colin was using every spare time coming out here and helping the bricklayers, and you were always hands-on the whole way through it. But so if I'd have said to him, will you come and look at bathrooms with me? No.
Yeah.
But I remember posting on Instagram at the time about having to do that, and the number of people that came back to me and went, oh my goodness, have you to make your mind up so early? And I went, well, yeah, you need to make your mind up where your toilet's going, because that's dictated by where that soil pipe goes.
Mm.
So, like,
you need to be making a head.
Yeah, you're better getting it all done whenever you know. You don't have to pick which toilet.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to know where in the room it is.
Yeah, location. Yeah.
And how come you went with a builder then? You know, like, you both, you actually have an engineering background, Colin.
Yeah,
you know, was there ever temptation there to go full direct labour?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, always wanted to.
My father's in the building game, like. And even the last house we were in, me and my brother and my dad done a lot of work with our extensions and stuff.
But this, built a big extension.
Yeah, I've done a big extension. Me and my brother had diggers and dumpers and all sorts of stuff. And it was three mates and stuff that's the route we went down.
Mm-hmm.
Games room, carport, gym, all that. But
I came home one day
here,
and there was a toilet sitting outside because he decided to knock three walls and take out the cloakroom toilet.
But this is a different animal. This gradient.
It was gradient.
It just put me off. So that's why we went more professional route.
And I was as well with the retaining wall, with the big concrete retaining wall, and the fact that was going to be part of our living accommodation. Mm-hmm. And had to be tanked and all the rest of it. And I just wanted to make sure, I'm not saying we couldn't have done it right, but by going with the builder.
It was peace of mind.
And plus then we got the NHBC, so I made sure whenever we were even going around tendering for a builder,
NHBC,
so it's National House Building
Certificate.
Yeah. So if you basically, if you buy a new build now in a development, you'll probably get this NHBC certificate.
That's
there are other ones now.
It's a
warranty. It's basically a warranty.
Okay.
So if anything goes wrong with your build within 10 years, they basically sort it.
And that you received that from the builder itself.
Yeah.
So
okay.
NHBC have to be satisfied with the standard of work that builder does before they will actually certify their work.
Be accredited, yeah.
And then also what I didn't know as well is depending on how well your builder is thought of by NHBC can actually affect the premium you pay. So our builder's like an A plus or whatever, A star maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so our premium actually wasn't as bad as what I maybe first anticipated it would be.
Yeah.
So that's also a way of doing your mortgage draw. So they come out and they inspect the build at certain stages and then they sign it off. And that's then what we use to get our stage payment.
Yes, yes.
Whereas the other route is, if we'd have went direct labour, then we would have had to have paid our architect
to do that,
to sign that off. Yeah, yeah. And there wasn't much difference between
the
two.
Yeah.
Plus, with me working in risk, I just had that risk aversion to warranty.
Yeah, but it makes sense. Something that I come across a lot already is that if you actually added up the amount of time that you have to spend on the self-build as opposed to the money you're making in your job, mm-hmm. it probably wouldn't make financial sense to do the self-build route for time versus hours.
We probably didn't
money.
Even get that far, but yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Looking back with COVID, it was a
disaster.
Well, no, it was a godsend that with a builder.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. And how did you, like a lot of people would be getting quotes and stuff from builders, how did you choose your builder? What was the deciding factor?
The architect went out to...
Oh, you got a recommendation, did you?
Yeah, he basically put together a tender pack.
Yeah.
So we had to work with the architect and we had to put down our electrical plan. So it was done really early. And I had to sort of say what sort of interior finishes. The likes of, did we want laminate or tile? What kind of skirting boards? So it was all kind of, I don't know.
Mm.
And the architect says, well, listen, go for probably the pricier one, because then you'll know that you'll be able to rein it back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like oak everywhere and spotlights everywhere. So the tenders then went out, and I think they tendered about five or six builders, mm-hmm. and we only got three quotes back.
That's right.
Right, yeah.
That's right.
And one of them was ridiculous.
Yeah.
We didn't even go and speak to them, and the other two were much of a muchness.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to speak to both those builders.
And they were both very good.
Yeah,
there wasn't a lot between them.
But the main thing was the builder we've got has a very, very good reputation in this area. Like, I was delighted that he even quoted. And, or they quoted.
Mm.
And he's just got a first-class reputation. And then they also have the NHBC.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Nice down the road. They're just down the coast, Cairn.
Yes, they're not far from here either, just in Cairnlock. So, and like the joiners around the corner.
Yeah.
So it's a
local one.
Did he, like, so did the builder, did you have any trades that like he wanted to go with, or did the builder just take over from there then? You know, sometimes people have like, you know, a plumber in the family or something. Was there anything like that?
We did do that. That was another thing as well, because I was conscious that not every builder will allow you to do that.
Yeah.
And one of the things we said that we want to do as much of this as we can. So like Colin can do electrical work, Colin's brother's a joiner, and so we were saying, well listen, can we do all the second fix joinery? And no problem.
Yeah.
You know, and you wanted to help out with electrical, but it didn't work out that you could do that because of like signing stuff off and things. But no, that he's very accommodating.
No, it's been good.
And And then, you know, going forward then, the building route, was there any things that came up throughout the building process that surprised you? Was there any hidden costs that you hadn't anticipated? There's probably loads. But,
loads. Well, I suppose with COVID's affected everybody now, and definitely all materials, metal, wood, it's ridiculous.
Did Brexit have any impact on the build in terms of material costs, labour, that sort of thing?
It's definitely, well, I think it has impacted supplies.
No, definitely, yeah.
Because I think the builder...
Was that something that you guys were conscious of?
The builder told me.
Aye, the builder told us, just be aware, this will be an open price, that will be an open price, and as it turned out, it did.
Yeah, but then we had the fixed, no, we had the fixed price, so yeah, it's only the things that you were doing yourself.
Yeah.
But the builder hasn't passed on anything because it was a fixed price, and he's kept to that, which he's been very good. But the sun tunnel was extra, and it took weeks to get here. And even though it came from Scotland via Dublin,
they could have turned over the water. Yeah.
I suppose I could have got the ferry over; it would have been quicker. Yeah. So yes, it took forever. And then
other
skirtings and things they take longer.
Other finishing touches like the oak wood. Metal, like, it significantly went up.
Yeah, your steelwork went up because you'd ordered some.
But was that because of COVID or Brexit or a mixture of both?
That's probably a mixture of both.
I think it's a bit of a mixture.
Mixture of both, probably, and one's jumping on,
And like, we still haven't got some of the sanitary, you know, like a couple of taps and the bath filler, and I think that's maybe to do with COVID.
Yeah.
And what was the other? There was definitely something else.
I know windows.
It was the windows. Windows were a bit of a, it was a bit of a communication issue.
Right.
So
have to ask the length. What is the length of that window?
It is just between. It's just over. Is it 5.6 meters?
Wow. Yeah. It's absolutely huge. Mm-hmm. It's massive. I wouldn't even dare ask the cost of the size of that window because it's just.
I couldn't even tell you because it's all one.
No, it was all
one literally.
Package.
We just went with
all
the
one package.
Our architects had recommended our supplier, and it turned out because our builder also does his own wee developments, he uses them as well. So we couldn't believe our luck.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And I had said we knew it was black windows. I knew straight away we were doing black. And the builder didn't realise that the suppliers did the black smooth. He just assumed it was black wood grain. And the black wood grain is a turnaround of 2 weeks. Whereas the smooth is 8 weeks. We thought, our builder thought we'd get our windows in 2 weeks. It turned out it was 8 weeks. And obviously everything else is delayed until these windows go in.
Yeah, the trades that were to come in on the back of the windows being
so
in.
So they were very good, but because we come up with a plan that we would block all the windows, the smaller windows up, so that one and the one behind us.
Delay this, yeah.
It was everything, plastered and everything.
More so yeah.
So they could put in temporary frames, and then the supplier was going to do, so that was always aluminium. The corners, the slider and the window attached to the slider were always going to be aluminium.
Oh, yeah.
And the other two were PVC, right? And the reason we went smooth was because it practically looked like the aluminium. You would notice the difference whenever they were sort of near enough beside each other. So the solution was to do all that whole bank of windows in aluminium.
Right.
Because we could get it faster than the smooth PVC. And, but in the end, the aluminium was delayed because it had to come, it was marine, they got marine standard aluminium, and it had to come from England, and then the glass was so big, so it was all delayed.
Oh,
but not as bad. Looking back, it wasn't as bad as what it could
no,
have been.
No, it could have dragged on more, but it was...
And there was still yeah. plenty going on. It's not as if the site came to a standstill.
Yes. Yeah.
The builder's still just getting on with stuff.
Yeah. yeah.
But I couldn't believe it. And this difference between wood grain and smooth being like 6 weeks difference in delivery.
And how early on did you guys decide like your heating system, your plumbing, your mechanical ventilation? Was that quite early on?
It was me, wasn't it?
Aye.
Did you make any decisions or no, you just went with
I just, I'm a dear. She's a pansy.
Mechanical ventilation was a no-brainer because we've got two bathrooms downstairs with no window.
Mm-hmm.
So the architects had said, listen, you just have to do it. And
I'm sorry, what heating system did you go with?
No, that was the mechanical ventilation.
Yeah.
So the heating system then was air source.
Yes, yeah.
So that is a bit of a new thing in these parts.
Yeah.
Like people, like the friends and family
and
are
was
going,
there any fears around the air source in terms of how proximity to the sea?
Yes, that's a good point, actually.
You yeah. had fears?
I did. Because obviously sea air and metal don't really...
No.
It's a corrosion factor yes. there, so...
But I knew from speaking to... So there was a company in the west of Ireland that I spoke to. Can't remember the names of them now.
Yeah.
And then another guy in Dublin, that area. And they were the two people I spoke to originally to get quotes. So I knew it was a big thing in the south because I work for an Irish company. You know, I knew people that had this and obviously Instagram as well and just doing research. And they assured me that, no, they're putting it, they've put them in like years and years and years ago and there's no issues with it. So I ended up getting quotes. And then it was the company we went with in the end. Mm. Is from Lisburn, so it's local.
Right.
It's only like half an hour away. Yeah. And we went with them because they could do the underfloor heating and the air source and the mechanical ventilation.
Yeah.
And it was a friend of mine who did a self-build and he says the biggest... He says to me, Nicky, as soon as I knew we had got the site, I went to him and work and I says, right, what things should I need to think about here? And he goes, number one, don't get bifold doors. Mm. He had a nightmare with his. And number two, if you can get one trade to do more than one thing, do it.
100%, yeah.
Because there's no conflict.
Yeah.
And the crossover can be the most,
that's right.
the most
yes.
point
that's,
of friction.
You know, and you do hear that all the time. That's not my job.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I didn't do that. That's not my job.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
is, the conflict happens.
Yeah.
yeah.
And
yeah.
that was, like, we did speak to different people.
But the beauty
the
of your build was that you did have the builder there in the middle to...
Yeah.
To be the dictator and to point the finger whenever
well, he had other bills as well.
Yeah,
so there was
yeah.
times he wouldn't have been here. Like he wasn't
no,
here every
not,
day.
Not yeah. every day, no.
You know, so, you know, but I, with me working from home, it worked out well. Actually, COVID did have its plus sides because I was working from home and my boss was brilliant. He says, listen, if you need to nip over, you know, to go and speak to somebody, tear on.
Yeah,
you
that
know.
Was very handy. Because
mm-hmm. we're not a mile and miles away from where we were. We're like,
10 minutes
yeah.
in the car.
Yeah.
So, and the
or
kids
we
are
in.
Up now, so you can just leave them, do whatever you need to do,
yeah.
you know.
And then going forward then with the project, going towards more of a finished thing, you decided to move in quite early. What was the reason behind that? And
space.
Yeah.
The thing I've missed the most, like we were in that temporary house for 2 years.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't what I was used to. It's
no.
the only house I've lived in that didn't have a driveway.
Yeah.
And boy, did I miss a driveway.
Yeah.
Like I was even not going out in the car because I didn't want to have to not have a car parking space when I came back. That's how bad it was.
Mm. Our residence was a wee 2-bedroom house. I renovated it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The three and looks.
Two and a half.
Looks bedroom was more or less a bath, the width of a bath, wasn't it?
So there was no space. And we didn't have a blade of grass.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really
ungrateful.
No, but
in the middle of a lockdown and when you're
yeah.
all cooped up together,
yes.
I can understand a small garden.
It was tough.
It was tough.
Yeah.
And like the caravan, that would
yeah.
have been, if we did have the static, which is what we originally had intended to do, you would have had the benefit of having the outdoor space.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I just can't imagine what it would have been like for Colin being furloughed, me working from home and two kids being homeschooled, one of them doing A-levels,
yeah.
Yeah.
it just would have been a disaster.
Impossible.
So we just wanted out.
And what sort of state was the house in when you moved in? This house, I mean.
Well, we've only one bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
We're still the
Sorry,
trailer.
How long are you in the house now?
When do we move in?
4 weeks.
Third of July. We were in Luke's birthday's the 4th of July.
Brilliant.
And we promised him he would be in his new room for his birthday.
And the pencil.
He's on a mattress, but he's in it.
So one thing I just wanted to ask about that I forgot, I don't want to forget, is the floor. Tell me about the floor.
The floor was a very long, drawn-out process, but it was so worthwhile.
Yeah.
So you always want to polish concrete. You'd always really liked it. I hate grout. And we knew that the concrete or the tiles were the two best finishes to go with for underfloor heating. So we went and had a look at the different finishes that a local concrete supplier can do, and they were lovely. But we had seen this polished concrete on a Grand Designs program that just looked like the beach. That used basically pebbles from the beach, and loved it. So I found the program again and took a photograph of it. And at one of the self-build shows, we met Thomas from Remarkable Polished Concrete, and he had explained that if he could find this aggregate, we might be able to get it like made. So for about 12 months. This we started this before even the bricks were laid.
Mm-hmm.
And God love him, every time he did a job, because he would go out and polish concrete that could have been laid 10 years ago. And he found this concrete down in County Down, and he sent me a photograph of it, and I went, yeah, that would work, that would work. So he then hunted the concrete.
Oh my God, I didn't realise
He then contacted different quarries. So you had to go to find this quarry that supplied this stone.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a sample. He then contacted RTU, and between the two of them, they made a sample and he polished it up, but it wasn't right. The colours weren't right. It was too much pink in it. And so that there one was the second one they came up with.
That's the first one they've done.
And now RTU now are actually marketing it.
And
they've called it Ambra Sands after Amber.
Mm.
She's delighted.
Because that's the first time they've done that particular.
And a man and lady came down to look because they're doing polished concrete and they wanted to see what it was like, so they've come down to see it.
How have you found? I know there's going to be so many questions about maintaining it. Is it slippy?
No, it's not. Because Luke was running about yesterday in his bare socks, and it's not. I haven't really noticed anything negative about it at all. It's warmer than the tiles.
Yeah.
Is it nice on the bare feet?
Yes,
it is. But see, even actually the underfloor, it's not toasty in your feet.
But it's the weird. Weather's been warm. I don't think the underfloors had to work full hard yet.
Yeah.
But I notice the difference: bare feet on the concrete versus bare feet on the tiles downstairs.
Mm.
Concrete all day long.
It is warmer. Definitely.
All day long. I said to you the other day.
You did.
To be honest with you, if we could do it again, I would do concrete downstairs too.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm.
You fell in love with it that
mm-hmm.
much.
Mm-hmm.
And for pouring it and stuff, then. Did you have to be really conscious of finishes and edges and stuff?
Yeah.
How late, I actually don't know that, how late in the build does the concrete be poured? Is it quite soon after your screed?
No, that is our screed.
That's literally it. Right. What's no screed underneath
nope.
that? Okay.
So there's the bison units.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
On our drawings, we had the bison units, which have obviously been there since way at the start.
Yeah.
And then there would have been 25 mil of insulation.
Yeah.
And then screed. Okay. But because there was 60 mil. He keeps me going. 60 mil of screed, right? Not right?
Mm.
No.
No.
95.
Yeah.
So it's 25 and 70, 95
yes.
in total.
Yeah.
But they won't polish anything less than 80.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So the builder had said you don't need the foundation or you don't need the insulation. So we just got full concrete, 95 mil. Whereas downstairs we've got the insulation and then just the sand and cement screed.
Screed. Yeah.
And then the tiles.
Mm.
Brilliant.
But I think
the company comes in
better.
And he does all that himself, or how does that work?
Well, there's a friend of mine who has polished concrete. Well, an acquaintance. She's polished concrete, and I had chatted to her about it, and she says, don't get it. She's had real problems with hers, and from the get-go.
What sort of problems?
She has staining.
Right.
Ghosting. And she, no, she didn't have ghosting, but somebody else did.
What's
so
ghosting?
Ghosting basically is whenever you can see footprints in right. your polished concrete, right? So, and she has got, like, it literally was a flower pot, and now she's a big rusty ring at her front door. And there also, the way she explained, in round your edges, she can see her, the plastic you lay, she can see that in
that's,
underneath.
That's part of the dump.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So she's still, now they're in their house, two years, and she's still fighting to get that sorted. She's actually thinking she's going to have to put tiles on top of it.
Was that just through the contractor that she got to do the job?
Well, they did direct build, so I'm not actually sure who laid it and who polished it.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. But we've got the guy that polished ours basically said, Nikki, you need to get somebody who knows what they're doing to lay it. So it was a man, Ian Donnelly, came down and he laid it. And you even, we said the other day, it's
whenever we were
class.
Doing, me and the brother were doing the skirting and even the kitchen guy, whenever you're doing the kickboards and tree, you know, that's perfectly
so
level.
So level. And with only one crack. Now, bearing in mind, there's 120 square metres of concrete on this full floor, one crack. Whereas if you look at every expansion gap, there's cracks in the expansion gap.
Yeah.
So they've been done
the
in the
it,
right
yeah.
place.
Yeah, yeah.
Regards to ghosting, like, the ghosting
ghosting's brilliant.
That's basically where it's maybe not a great contractor's been in and they're causing footprints walking over it and they're not filling that in with more aggregate. Yeah. So
and the aggregates, as they step, it's pushed down. Yeah. So whenever they polish it, there's no aggregate there to expose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in terms of maintenance and stuff, it's easy to clean.
Yep. Hoover and a steam mop.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, you wouldn't really notice dirt on it because it's kind of speckled.
I know. Mm-hmm. Do you know, see, whenever Colin was painting the vaulted ceiling, and we had covered it in polythene, or like polythene dust sheets, and whenever I was taking back things, the wee white speckles, I kept thinking, he's flipping well got a bit of paint in that.
Yeah, so I go like that.
So yeah, it took a wee. And then whenever we're doing the black skirtings, and I was going, is that paint? But it's not. It's just there's so many different colours on it.
It's absolutely stunning. It's absolutely stunning.
And you don't see the dirt.
Great for accounts of kids. So tell me, we finished kind of the interior. If you were to start again, if you to go all the way back, what would you change or what would you do differently? What would be the things that when you look back at now you might have said, I wish we kind of maybe I'd looked at that in a different way.
We were talking about this recently. I probably a bigger plant room.
Definitely. Like the architect, as much as we get, I like to see plug-ins. Lemmy's design is very good. That should have been made more aware of us that we needed a bigger, as they say in Jaws, a bigger boat. We definitely needed a bigger plant room, didn't we?
Yes.
Why though? What's that for?
Because the amount of stuff that's we put in the loft.
Just in terms of storage.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and not in the loft, what we've used too there now.
Yes, so basically if you think your original intentions for that loft space was for to be a big games room, pool table, dartboard, etc. And then a small section off it just at the top of the stairs for me for a study. Whereas the mechanical ventilation system is now in the middle of that space. So we have to now create
right.
a plant room upstairs to accommodate that.
Yes.
Whereas if we knew now, or knew back then what we know now, that would have been put somewhere else to keep that space totally free.
Yeah, clean.
Now, whether it could be put something else somewhere else, I don't know. But that definitely would have been one. Mm. And the other one I've only realised since moving in is, and you probably will go, told you so, is a laundry room downstairs where the bedrooms are.
Yeah. And I did tell
you. You did mention it, and then I went, but I don't. I hang my clothes out on the washing line outside. I don't have one at the minute because we haven't put it up. And I think that's why I'm thinking, it would have been handier downstairs, tumble dryer, straight into the bedrooms. Whereas at the minute, I'm having to go up and down. Yeah. Maybe two.
Yeah,
maybe
one
upstairs and one downstairs.
But the kids won't be here forever, so that'll help.
So, yeah. That's about it, is it?
I'm sure even as the weeks and months go on, we'll go and think
more
of other things,
bits and bobs,
but it's not too bad.
The balcony. Your balcony you wanted. If we're known with issues, not issues, but plan A for the balcony balustrade was all glass.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. And because the balcony surface is our bedroom roof, that has a flat roof cover, and we cannot penetrate that without obviously risking there being leaks. So anything that is going to be affixed to it, we need to be very wary of how it gets affixed. And if we're just going pure glass, it's so thick, because that's basically structural glass to stop you falling over, and it's too heavy to be put onto the copings. So it had to be, the only way of doing it was to put it on the horizontal or the vertical wall.
Yeah.
And because we've got the stone cladding, you'd have had to have tracked, keep me right here, tracked the block work,
right,
steel laying that, and then the cladding over it. Mm-hmm. And by tracking the block work, that then obviously disintegrates a bit of the quality of the block.
Yeah.
Integrity, and the engineer, the engineer wouldn't sign off.
So what are you going to do? What's the solution?
So plan B is that, we're still waiting on quotes, is we're just going to go for a post system with glass infill.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it means if you go with post, we can actually attach the first main post to the wall of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then we're going to have the last post beyond the membrane. And then because everything else then is not, you're not having to have it as fixed right the way through, you could have smaller attachments then onto the copings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're just waiting to see. But I've said I don't want stainless steel. It'll be black, black,
powder coat,
thin profile, powder coat.
That'll be nice. Yeah,
hopefully to tie in with the windows.
Yeah.
But we're still waiting on quotes.
And and then, what is each of your favourite parts of the house? What's where's your favourite place?
That's a good question. I haven't thought of that yet.
I have.
Right, go.
The floor. Love my concrete floor. Love my polished concrete.
Well, I must admit, I like
and the balcony.
This. I must admit, I like coming up here in the mornings now. Just looking out the view, sitting there in my breakfast bar.
I like my kitchen as well.
I know, I like it, but I know going forward it'll be a games room for me. That'll be my refuge. Yeah.
But it is nice coming down that hall in the mornings. Maybe not in December, but certainly at the minute.
I think even in December it'd be quite cosy. You know what I mean? Yeah, that coziness.
Maybe not as nice. Yeah. The view might be a bit grey, but no.
I want to take you back. So you had this whole process with planning, and you had this whole process with COVID and Brexit, and it was like everything was up against you to get in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this big uphill battle. And I think so many people feel like it's just a never ending wall of firefighting, you know what I mean, when you're building a house. I want you to take you back to the first morning when you woke up in this house. What was it like? What did you turn and say to each other? What was that moment like?
I was roasting.
It was warm.
It was really warm because we've no blinds yet in the bedroom, and the sun was just beating into it. you said, "This is great. I can go to bed without banging into something."
Kicking my toes, because the room we were in was, because it was just a mass of clothes, and that's like a fit.
You had that amount of space on either side of the bed.
From and back.
So not a day went past where he wasn't kicking something.
So Dad enjoyed that, just getting spread night.
But no, it was great. Yeah. We've done it. We're in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we have so much to do.
No, there's still a lot of work. There's a lot of work in progress, but we're getting there.
Yeah, 5-year plan.
Slowly knocking boxes off, aren't we? Ticking boxes. Yeah.
By the way, building control, that's the next big thing. So that's probably what's different about Northern Ireland to the Republic of Ireland, is we have to have the house signed off. So building control come out at various stages of the build and sign stuff off, and they have to be like, we'll not get this signed off without that balustrade going up.
Right, yes.
Same with the staircase.
And the stairs. Yeah. So there's certain, I know originally whenever we talked to the builder, he said there's probably ways you could have put like locked that door, blocked that door up, but that's whenever it was a standalone balcony without access to it from the outside. So we'll not get our final stage drawdown of our mortgage until this. It's all safety related.
Same deliver.
And then the stairs out the back door as well. There'll have to be a handrail there. And that's it really, isn't it?
Those are the three big things. But that will come. Yeah.
So yeah, building control is definitely something that needs to be thought about. Mm-hmm. You can't not do things right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's like you said, it's about thinking ahead about what they're going to need and what they're going to want. Yeah.
Yeah, because it impacted the concrete actually. Yeah. That's the thing we didn't know about. So basically, building controls say that you have to have 25 mil of insulation around exterior walls.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
So even though we had done away with the insulation on this floor to allow us to get the full 95 mil of concrete, we still had to have it because it could be cold spots. Mm-hmm. So if you looked very carefully at the... we didn't need it at the block work. Mm-hmm. We got away with it at the block work because it's a cavity wall and there's insulation within it, but we didn't get away with it at the windows, the floor to ceiling windows. So if you looked very carefully at those parts of the windows, the concrete is less thick.
Oh wow, okay.
So there's a chance that if somebody stood in that, with a big high heel, and that could give away. So what we have to do is we're going to buy thin strips of powder coated aluminium.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And set it down just to protect that part. And then in the kitchen area, we've got wood, a wooden sill. Built in. But that's something, I don't know, I think from whenever I was looking into it, you possibly can get insulated frames.
Yes.
That might have been a solution had we known earlier.
Mm. Yeah.
That we were definitely going to go with the concrete.
Yes.
You know, so that's something if you're going to be thinking about doing the polished concrete. Because in the study, you could see the insulation. No. So we've had to put on thicker skirting boards.
To hide it.
To hide it. Because normally you wouldn't see it because a tile covers it or a wooden floor covers it.
Yeah.
But because with the concrete, it's there.
Jesus, yeah, it's something that you wouldn't really think about.
And that's building control.
Yeah.
So there has been a lot of wee hidden things, but we've worked around it, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. I must say, as I said to Tiernan, when we come in here, the view in this house is just one of the best I've ever seen. It's stunning.
And the house, that's nice.
It's an absolute credit to you. So you should be really proud of yourselves that you're nearly there. You know what I mean? You're on the battle. Guys, would you believe that's nearly been an hour? Would you believe that? We've nearly been talking an hour. So
scary.
I think we leave it at that. I think we've got covered a lot there.
Brilliant.
Just want to thank you both very, very much.
Thank you. It's been a good day.
If people want to find you, is it at Ballycus House that we're
at? House at Ballycus.
On Instagram.
Yes.
Brilliant. Guys, thanks so much. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It really means a lot. And if you want to find out more from Nikki and Colin, you can find them on Instagram @house_at_Ballycus. And as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, you can also view their YouTube episode on the Get In Our Home YouTube channel, where you can see their stunning home and all the unique features that we spoke about. I've just set up Get In Our Home with the aim of helping people that are on their own home building journey. As we're only new, I would really appreciate it if you would click subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to this on. It'll cost you absolutely nothing and it'll really help us to keep going with the content. It'll also help you to stay notified when we release new episodes. We're going to be releasing a new podcast and corresponding YouTube episode every second Sunday. So stay tuned and subscribed for all things home building. Thanks and really hope to see you all soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.